The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Yeah, Film Vault. Yeah, Film Vault. Welcome to the Film Vault, everybody. That's Anderson. I'm Brian Bishop. We're your hosts for today. Top five amputees. Top five folks missing limbs.
Yes, it's true.
Anderson, you want to have a discussion about amputees? What did you want
to
talk
about? We fucked up. Why? Once again.
How?
In the research I ran, I was going to reach out to you and you know, let you give you a heads up, but I figured, A, you might have already been too far down the rabbit hole. B, I didn't want to talk to you. So I just let it fly, and I thought I'd do it here.
Concerns.
Yes.
What's the problem?
We should have just done amputated characters.
Okay.
Is that what we're doing today?
Yes.
Right. That's how I approached it. And then amputee scenes.
Slogan, amputations.
Amputation scenes.
What's funny is when I texted
would be
you,
really good.
I suggested top five amputations. You said, great, top five amputees. I was like, that's probably a little better. I think what you chose was a little better of a list.
But I tailored my list so that we can do
a lot of
follow up soon. We can do amputation scenes.
A lot of
let's do that scene.
I'll do a quick look. Soon. Actually, fair enough, because only one and a half of mine. I can't. It's my number one.
Remove.
A lot of amputees, you don't see how they lose the limb. You
that's kind of what I tried to go with.
Okay.
Just like they're characters who happen to not have limbs. And
mine's a mix, but I can acquiesce to your list in the future. That's fine. I think I have a lot of also rans, so we can do another list.
Yeah, we'll do another list, and we'll do one where it's actually the scenes where it occurs, which would also be unsettling and disturbing scenes.
There will be a couple of mine.
Uncomfortable scenes. We should do that. Have we ever done that?
No.
Top five most uncomfortable scenes.
Uncomfortable.
Like when I was watching Tickled, I was thinking, like, it's not disturbing, but it's just uncomfortable watching these young men tickle each other.
I'm with you.
Disturbing.
Uncomfortable can mean a lot of things, too. It could be like you felt uncomfortable for the actors. You felt uncomfortable for yourself because you're sitting with maybe your mom.
Yeah, there's all sorts of. So we need to add that.
Permutations.
I got an email from a listener today asking if they should take a date to go see Tickled. They're like, is it a good date movie? And I'm like,
it depends.
It's uncomfortable. Have you seen it?
No, but I've heard you talk about it.
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable.
Also, let's make a quick note about Anton Yelchin. I heard about that last night. And
he's in Green Room, isn't he?
Yes. Oh. He's the lead in Green Room. And
unbelievable.
He's Charlie Bartlett. Whatever.
I think most people would know him as Chekhov in the new Star Trek movies.
And the Star Trek movies, yes. And I was just talking to him with McAllister, actually Sergeant McAllister, a listener of the program, on Saturday night. We were talking about how great he was in Green Room and how he's in everything.
Before he had died?
The night before he died.
Whoa!
It was very upsetting. So when I heard that last night on the radio, I almost crashed as I was ironically looking on my phone to confirm that that was the case. So upsetting. I
wonder if, you know, if it's awful, but if there's a silver lining or some good to come out of it, I wonder if it'll give more attention to Green Room, because it's coming out on DVD or on video, I should say, in just a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like there's more attention going to be on the new Star Trek that comes out in 2 weeks,
you're
too.
Probably right. Yes. You're probably right.
Green Room. You fools. Everyone watch fucking Green Room, you idiots.
Well, it's been out of print for
out of zeitgeist. Hey, my number one movie of the year, though, that's available on Blu-ray. You know how I know? I drove by a Best Buy, and the entire windows were just caked with a giant mural of Zootopia. Now available.
Zootopia is very good.
You thought I was going to say Green Room?
Well, I figured not, because I just said it was coming out. It was coming out in a couple weeks.
So let's do this. Let's flick fast.
Speaking of Zootopia.
Oh, hey.
I saw an animated film.
No, not you already saw Zootopia.
I did.
Yeah.
I liked it quite a bit.
Yes.
But you know what I liked a little better?
Mm.
Finding Dory.
All right, let's do this together.
Finding Dory.
I saw it as well.
It's in theaters now.
Mm-hmm.
It is directed by Andrew Stanton, director of Finding Nemo, the prequel, the original. Also, A Bug's Life, which you encouraged me to see. I have not seen A Bug's Life, and you said, see, it's good. It's on the queue.
See it.
And also WALL-E, which I think you and I are at least in the first half in agreement, a beautiful work of art.
I love Wall-E.
Yeah, the first Wall-E's half of Wall-E fan, is, beautiful. Is unassailable. Mm-hmm. This is starring the voices of Ellen DeGeneres, reprising her role as Dory, Albert Brooks, Hayden Rolentz is Nemo in this one, because the kid who played Nemo last time knows an adult voice, obviously. It's been many years. Ed O'Neill joined the cast, Caitlin Olsen, Ty Burrell. The mouse is dying.
The mouse is dead? Why? Come on, bring back the mouse.
It's hot, man. It's hot. Mm-hmm. We're having a discussion about mice earlier. One particular mouse.
Yeah, Chuck E. Cheese.
Charles E. Cheese.
All right, let's move on. Why are we talking about that? Why would you bring
talk about Dory? This is a long-rumored sequel, Anderson. Uh-huh. Stanton, the director, was initially against doing a sequel. He swore it off for many years, but I suppose we can thank the relatively epic failure of John Carter, which he directed,
right,
for there being a Finding Dory in our lives. And I'm glad Finding Dory is in our lives.
Jesus.
Excuse me. Christy and I went to see it together, and as we left, I think we both agreed that while not as good as the original, still very good, and maybe even packs a little more of an emotional punch than the original. I actually got a little dusty there towards the end. There was you know what scene I'm talking about? The climactic
yes,
scene.
Yes.
Dusty.
I was dusty. I took the wife,
too,
and I
was
afraid
there
was
ocean dust.
She was going to catch me with the tears, and I was very concerned.
She was like, aren't I the one supposed to be having pregnancy hormones?
She didn't look over. I get so like uncomfortable that she's going to look over. I feel like such an idiot, especially when it's a fucking cartoon.
Christy was weeping during the opening, the animated short.
Oh, really?
Piper.
That was cute. Piper was cute.
I think she's really feeling the pregnancy hormones.
Show her Feast. You should make her watch Feast. Then she'll.
I haven't even seen Feast. What was Feast before?
That's why the two of you should sit down.
What was Feast before?
I believe Big Hero.
Huh. Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Big Hero 6?
I saw it on DVD. So yeah, there you go.
Feast. Enjoy.
Feast. If I showed her Lava, she'd lose her mind.
No, Feast, because it's about a dog.
Okay.
Lava's a great song. What are we doing? Yeah. All right, so...
Finding Dory.
Okay, riddle me this. Answer this question, because I wasn't able to figure it out. In doing so, I would have to go back and watch the original, which wouldn't be so bad. I love the original. It's one of my favorites. I love Finding Nemo. Who doesn't?
Finding Nemo's great.
But the little classroom, the little fish in the class, you know, they're
school
swimming,
of fish.
Swimming with the spotted eel ray.
A group of fish called school, Anderson.
Yes, it's true. Was the bucktooth tang in there? The butterfly fish with the bucktooth, the buck teeth?
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that being in the original. It might have been. And also along the same lines is that goddamn seal, so the sea lion that was
Idris Elba.
Mentally challenged.
Oh, the other one. I don't think those were in the first one either.
I know that none of the sea lions were, but like, it kind of felt like low hanging fruit and kind of cheap jokes with just having like really, like, it's like harkening back to Tomb Raider, I guess, from the Cars
movies.
I'm with you.
That character was so minor, and it only existed for me to sort of bring out that funny moment where I'm gonna say what happened.
Enjoy the rock.
The funny moment, yeah, where the sea lions are protecting their rock.
Because the movie's so clever and so smart in so many ways.
It is.
We haven't even gotten to the part that the actual heart or the three hearts of. This movie
is true.
Is absolutely
there's
Ed
a very
O'Neill's
Anderson-esque character in the Ed O'Neill octopus.
He
the
is
world's
fantastic.
Smallest mollusk, by the way.
Smartest mollusk. Yes, it's a smart.
You know, a wise man told me that.
He proves how smart that mollusk is in this
That's
one.
Right.
He's
very,
very,
adept,
clever,
very
clever.
Very adept.
But what was his name? What was his name? Ed O'Neill's. Come on.
What was his name?
Oh, don't make me go to my notes. I wasn't prepared to do this yet.
I just call him Ed O'Neill. Ed O'Neill the octopus. He was a septopus.
He was. But
amputee.
I was counting.
Amputee.
I was thinking that.
He's
when
on my
I was
number.
Watching.
He's my number one.
I was thinking that He's when I was watching. One. Hold on, hold on. Hank. He plays Hank the octopus.
Hank the cantankerous octopus.
And he was the best part about the movie to the point where I really hope that he gets his own movie.
Oh, I want to see Finding
he
Hank.
He needs his own movie.
Yeah, he was
he alludes. He alludes to an experience, a negative experience he had in the open ocean at one point. And that's why he never wants to go back. And we have a whole movie right there, guys. Get on it, Pixar.
Yeah.
Get on it.
Hopefully this is the next one. So I mentioned it, you know, first thing Christy and I said to each other was, you know, not as good as the original. It's a bit of a cliche. So rather than say that, I'll say it's not as inspired as the original. There's very good moments in here, and I think this is a really good movie. But Finding Nemo, I think we both agree, is a classic.
It was a landmark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is good. This is very good.
This is very good. It's more of the same.
Which is not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing at all. More of the same of a great thing. Okay. Can't go wrong.
Without mentioning any specifics, did it bother you? And I'm sure it didn't, because these things only bother me. The music specifically in the climactic scene, the truck scene at the end, the climactic scene. It felt like filler material. Like we're gonna replace this. This is a temp track. We're gonna replace this. And it was like, this is where you're going with it. It felt just kind of basic, no, like a basic bitch.
Those kinds of things do bother me. Did not affect me. I didn't notice it one way or the other. Okay. With this, I think I was too distracted with.
It was a good
the,
scene.
The awe spectacle of the scene, which I kind of felt was unnecessary. It seemed too big for the movie itself because it was so action driven, and I feel like the characters. It could have held up their end of the bargain with something smaller. It was almost like literally jumping the shark.
That's an interesting way to put it.
Literally, right?
No, that's funny. I wonder if it was like a subtle, like tongue in cheek kind of nod to the audience, like the jumping the shark thing, because it was a whale shark they jumped over.
Right. It wasn't necessary though.
I'm with you, except it was right after that we got the real heart of the movie and that one really sweet scene, and it earned it. It was like, okay, here's a big thing for the kids, and here's a little thing for the adults.
And I'm guilty of nitpicking at Pixar movies because they're so good for the most part. They're so great for the most part.
This is a top half of the ones that I've seen. This is a top half.
But this Pixar is probably movie. A slam dunk, to be up for best animated feature.
It's going to be quite a knockout.
Zootopia is going to be
Zootopia
up there.
In this one.
You could almost put
BFG.
Come on.
The giant.
The big fucking giant?
The big fucking giant.
Nah. But you could almost put Jungle Book in there because it's so animated.
There's like there's one thing that isn't animated. It's still a kid.
Yeah.
I wonder if that counts.
I don't think so. We'll see. Anyway. All right. And that kid was animated. You can make that argument.
He was. He's a great actor. Animated kid.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was my movie. You want to throw out a movie?
I was assigned a film.
Yeah, you were.
Let me get to...
What were you assigned? Something good, I'm sure.
Hey, anyone see this? Sorry, off topic. Anyone see that Michael Cera freaking out on set at the director? Look it up. Maybe we'll play the audio
for it.
It's fucking great. I think it's fake.
Okay.
I know it's fake.
Because there was a fake one involving Dennis Quaid a couple years ago.
A fake one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He sold it. It was good, but it was fake. This is horseshit.
It's Michael Cera one's pretty great, too. He's like, I just keep giving you gold. I just
From
keep
2009?
Giving you.
2009? No. On Youth and Revolt?
No. What? Let me see. Are they in a booth? Are they in a booth? Nope.
Okay. It's a different one then.
Yeah.
That was a fake one.
Okay. I think this is another fake one. All right. Here we go.
Where were you assigned?
It looks like a trend because I'm seeing related clips. It's Michael Cera fired from Knocked Up or freaks out on Knocked Up. And he freaks out on another movie. I think he does, like, this seems to be a trend.
During the break, I'll try and find the clip that I looked at because it was fun. All right. The Resurrection of Jake the Snake.
Oh, yeah.
Was assigned to me by
Lucky
Baldwin
you.
Last
Lucky
week.
Lucky you.
And here's my take on it. All right, 74. It's a 74 week journey that is ultra like melodramatic.
It is sweeping. There's sweeping drama.
It's a journey. It's a 74 week
Shakespearean,
journey.
Shakespearean, I would say.
The score. Speaking of scores, the score on this one is pretty much nonstop.
It is. It is ubiquitous.
It's a bit much.
It's omnipresent.
It's a bit much. It's like let the scene just take care of itself. I don't need this music telling me how to feel. Some of that, but that just felt like maybe new to the making
films. You stream this, I assume, on Netflix? Okay.
It's on the old Fuckflix. Okay. All right, here's my take.
There's a documentary, if you didn't hear last week, about the wrestler, Jake the Snake Roberts. Since his height in wrestling, maybe in the early 90s, he has slipped into addiction and
same old story.
Poor health and all that stuff. And this is the story of him trying to fight his way back.
And being someone who knows very little, next to nothing about pro wrestling, was never a fan, would never really watch him, spend much time on it, I don't think I was moved the same way that you were because I don't have all those memories of him being the man. I mean, they set it up and they show us a lot of clips and they let you know for the guy like me who doesn't know anything about it. But my thing...
But even you as an outsider were familiar with the name Jake the Snake.
Oh, yeah,
I've
heard Jake
Everyone
the
knows
Snake.
Jake the Snake.
And my thing was like he's an old dude. What's he supposed to be doing right now anyways? He's almost like they're setting it up like he would be at the top of his game still wrestling today if it wasn't for this drinking and whatnot. I was like, no, dude, why don't you let that dream go and like... Go fucking get a job as a manager somewhere.
That's a big unanswered question in a lot of these is like, well, these old guys, what would they be doing in the best case scenario? There's only so many jobs in the WWE.
This is a movie that people who are kind of on the fence, who are thinking about maybe getting cleaned up, should watch. It's almost like an AA how-to.
Right.
And you got to help me out with the Diamond guy. What's his name?
Diamond Dallas Page.
He is at DDP. The central. He's the clean wrestler who is pretty much rehabbing all these old wrestlers who are all fucked up.
He's evangelical about it.
And yeah, so he's got this house. I don't understand how any of the bills are paid. They never cover any of that.
Yeah, I don't know
Bunch
where he
gets
his money
from. Bunch of dudes just living
there.
And I don't know what happens when the lights go down at night, but I feel like there's a little handwork going on at the very least. Because they got a bunch of little filmmakers living over there too.
Gotcha.
Hated that one filmmaker. I don't know how many guys actually made
the
this
Asian
thing.
Guy?
But the Asian guy that was all getting up in his business.
He was like the guy.
Why don't you stand down, sir? Why don't you let the men talk? I did not like him trying to get in Jake's face and like antagonizing him. And oh, it was very upsetting.
He was challenging him. physically.
But here's my problem. All the crying and the whining and the woes.
Steve Yeun, his only credit at IMDb.
All the, yes, it felt like a first time movie made. And the list of the litany of names at the in the credits for the all the different crowdfunding they did. They did like two or three rounds to get this fucking movie made. All the crying coming from Jake and the whining and the woe is me. The man has very few coping mechanisms, and it was hard for me to actually feel bad for the guy because he was doing such a bang up job of doing it for himself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like, all right, dude, you're a grown fucking man. Stop it. Stop it. Everything's about him. He's such a fucking narcissist. Everything's over the top, dramatic. It's like,
I'm with you. I mean, I think that goes especially for athletes, but let's just call them performers. You know, performers especially, musicians, wrestlers, actors. You know, just have been in the spotlight.
You know, you put yourself in the position a little bit. Like, yeah. What would I be doing, especially with these cameras? And just he can't turn it off. All the woe is me, and I didn't even change my hair.
Okay.
The Cauliflower Alley Club. He got into some kind of like Hall of Fame, which I obviously had no idea existed.
I didn't know about that either.
The CAC, and it was the induction was at the Gold Coast in Las Vegas, right. And like a
named
ballroom.
After Cauliflower Ear,
and they're making such a big deal about it, but it looks so fucking chintzy.
It was a little bit, yeah. I mean, it's a hotel ballroom, you know.
And I finally figured out why I hate wrestling.
Why?
It makes me feel like a snob. Whenever there's clips on or anything or any or like the Cauliflower Alley Club right. going on, I just feel like ridiculous.
It's beneath you.
Stupid. Yeah. Way beneath me. But, and I don't like to feel like a snob. I hate it.
Right.
I hate feeling like a snob.
You hate them for making you feel that.
Yes. Okay. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Like, that's totally valid.
Yeah. Like when dumb people are around me, I hate them because they're making me feel like superior. Yeah, and I hate that.
Okay.
I hate feeling that way. So I want to be the man of the
how
people.
How dare you, dumb people. Did you like the movie?
The little moment at the end almost fixed all the ills that I had to begin with, where he's talking about a phone call, and I won't get into it, but he's talking to Diamond about the phone call, and it is a transformation that's something to behold. I did not love this movie. If you're a wrestling fan, I say you have to see this.
No, I would say so.
If you got a friend who is in addiction or you're worried about him, this is you'll learn a lot of stuff about how grown men can cry and complain and. Some of the yoga moves that he was doing, he's just like, dude, aren't you embarrassed at all? Stop it. Look at you.
Well, he had to humble himself. That's part of addiction recovery, as I understand it.
But I really liked the phone call at the end with the bad news and the turnaround. It almost brought a tear to my eye a little bit.
He's a little dusty.
I don't hate the guy. I just, like I said, he's a hard character to root for, okay. At least for me.
Yeah, I tried my best.
No, you really didn't. It was not very inspired.
Why?
You saw the movie.
And I thought you'd like it.
You flick-fested. It was top of mind. And you're just like, hey, here, take it.
Maybe you're right.
I'm absolutely correct.
I saw a film.
What'd you see?
I saw a film that's in theaters now called Central Intelligence.
Oh, fuck you, Brian.
That's an interesting reaction.
Why would you do? I know you did it for the your little Baldywood thing over there, so why don't you just like direct people over there? Because I don't want to hear about this movie.
I have not seen it for Baldywood. I have not done a Baldywood.
Why'd you see this movie?
This is everything
we stand against, Brian.
That's funny you mentioned that. I had been told that it was a little better than you think.
Oh, listen to this. I almost fucking threw a fist at a guy when I was with the wife. Took the wife. All right, so the wife and I.
Did you insult her honor?
13 years ago, we went on our very first date. Okay. I took her to Finding Nemo. All right, it was a fun fact. It was June 3rd, I think.
Wow.
2003. And I had already seen it. But I wanted to, you know, I didn't really know the girl that well. I'm like, let's see how she reacts to it. I'm crying throughout the movie. And she's like, you know, noticing
what's
this
wrong with you?
Bit of a turn off. So here we are 13 years later. They got the sequel coming out. So we have to make a big date night out of it. And we actually went and saw it together. So we're going in. It's one of these theaters where I had to buy the movie ticket in advance. And so I'm waiting in line to pick up the movie. Anyways, the guy behind the register, he's like, Collateral Damage? Is that the name of this movie that you're talking about? He was guessing like that was the movie that we were there to see.
Uh-huh.
And oh, my fist.
Wait, you mean Central Intelligence?
Central Intelligence. I don't even know what the fuck it's called.
It's an Arnold Schwarzenegger film.
My hand kind of became a fist. I'm like, what?
It was acting independently.
What? I was so pissed. I feel like a snob. I definitely was at that moment.
Hey, man. Someone.
But then I realized, wait, no, Finding Dory.
And you went the other way.
All right.
I'm here to tell you, Anderson, Central Intelligence is not a bad movie.
No.
Central Intelligence is actually kind of a good movie.
Stop it,
Brian. I think Logan can look it up. It's 60-something percent of Rotten Tomatoes. It's fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
Is it fresh? Is it a fresh film?
Well, it's fresh in terms of the tomato meter, tomato score.
66.
60,000 is not a bad movie. Directed by Ross and Marshall Thurber, director of Dodgeball, We're the Millers, which you have not seen.
No, and I'm not going to ever.
You may see someday.
Why, Brian?
not a bad movie. Back to Central Intelligence. And also, do you remember Terry Tate, office linebacker, where Terry Crews got famous? Wait, but that wasn't Terry Crews. That was another. That was racist. Strike that out. Calm down. That was a joke. Terry, remember Terry Tate, office linebacker? There's a Reebok commercial.
How's that
Terry
racist?
Tate, office linebacker, and in like the like to, in order to improve work morale, like this like the stuffy guy, the guy you hate, the stuffy guy, and they're like, we hired Terry Tate, office linebacker, and it shows like some guy walking to the copy machine, and out of nowhere, fucking this football player just takes him out, papers go flying, and he's like over his like limp body, he's like, you better come correct, Richard, like that kind of stuff. It's good. It's pretty good. Terry Tate. Back to Ross and Marshall Thurber.
What does that have to do with?
He, the director of those, the creator of those commercials, did Central Intelligence.
Mm-hmm. A lot of physical comedy here.
There's some physical, there's some slapstick. Mm-hmm. Kevin Hart and Dwayne Johnson. I thought you might have seen this for CinemaDex.
I would never see this. Why? I was offered the screen and I passed. Because this is
you may have to.
Look at the fucking billboard. This is for the,
I know.
This
I know.
Is for the lowest common denominator. This is for the quick money grab. This is for the mouth breathers. We're better. We're snobs.
So that's interesting.
We're snobs. We don't watch this.
I had the exact same thought, which was everything about
PG-13, Brad.
Everything I know. Everything about this movie leading up to it was like, I have no interest. I don't want to see another Kevin Hart movie. I don't want to see another Rock movie.
All right, I make this vow right now.
However,
I see the writing on the wall. All right, I'm probably going to lose this week because I guess Dory was in the 70s. So, Brian, if you assign me this fucking movie, I promise to the listener that I will cheat from now on.
Wow, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah. So this shit can't happen because we're going to spend 2 weeks in a row now talking about Central Intelligence.
It's not that bad. It's actually kind of good.
Because you went in with horribly low expectations.
And you have even lower.
Why did you
think
do that?
Think how much better you're going to like it.
No, not now. No, there's no way I could like it. Knowing that you liked it.
Can you listen to me talk?
I can. I'm hard.
Okay, problem. It's a very, very by-the-numbers screenplay. It's very
awful.
It's formulaic to the point where Sid Field would have been proud. Like this is you know they would teach this as a textbook screenplay in intro to screenwriting class. Really could have benefited from an R rating. This is like a movie where everyone's a CIA agent, yet they somehow can't shoot anyone. Like they're constantly missing. It's like a G.I. Joe cartoon from the 80s where everyone's shooting things around them. There's lots of explosions, but no one's actually getting shot. Mm-hmm. There's very little blood in the movie. Despite it being about assassinations and you know, shooting and all that stuff. That said, this movie survives or dies, a movie like this, only on the strength of the relationship between the two stars. There's hardly even anyone else in it worth noting. Like it's Jason Bateman's in it as a weird, almost a cameo, but he has a part that's wasted on an actor of his caliber, yet Kevin Hart and Dwayne Johnson, if they have a good relationship, if they have chemistry on screen, the movie works. If they don't, the movie fails. They are really good together. They're really good. Every scene with them together, I enjoy. I can see that,
and I can buy that point, but that's not worthy of me seeing this thing.
There is a brilliant scene where through a series of circumstances, Kevin Hart and his wife are going to marriage counseling, and they're going to go for the first time, and he's meeting her there, and he shows up, he's late, and she's already in the office, and he's stressed out because Dwayne Johnson, who is a high school friend of his, has come out of nowhere and like entered his life, and now he's a CIA agent, he's revealed himself, and he's already gotten involved in shootings and explosions, and he's freaking out. He's like, let me alone, and so he goes, sorry, honey, sorry, I'm late. He goes in the office, chair turns around, it's Dwayne Johnson. And it's a really
did
well.
Did you just ruin that joke?
You
just ruined it.
No, the joke is what happens in the scene.
You and ruined
the
it.
The reveal is not that important.
The what reveal happens, is the punchline. No, everything no, great no, about it.
It's not. You'd think it was. In a lesser movie, it would be. This movie, it sets up a great scene where now he must exist in this space and have a therapy session with a CIA agent who his wife thinks is the doctor. Mm-hmm. The setup is the reveal that it's Dwayne Johnson.
I feel like you just burned a joke in a movie that no one should see.
If you think that's the joke and you're upset, if you see it and you're like, oh, that joke is ruined, then you don't deserve to
enjoy
things.
Okay.
Enjoy comedy.
I'm beginning to question your taste in comedy.
Really?
Your sense of humor.
Interesting. Next week, top five parody movies.
I don't think it's there for you. I think you might be missing a couple cards in that deck.
Well, you'll be the one to verify that for me after you see this movie.
I mean, you like Just Friends.
I do like Just Friends.
You think it's funny? Like, you laugh out loud probably when you watch it.
I do.
I don't at all. There's nothing funny about it.
Oh, do you want to see it again?
You can't do that. I mean, you can. I'll just come in and I'll be like, all right, I got a movie to Flick Fest.
You read through your notes.
It's called Just Friends, Why Are They Dancing? Next.
No, I'll send you something new.
Okay, look at how smug you are.
I'm very excited for the Central.
I'm very excited about talking about amputated characters, and I got some fun ones. I got some good ones, and you're self-satisfied. You're very happy. He's boasting before the show began here, before we cracked open the mics, talking about his list over there and how excited he is.
You know what's upsetting to me is
patting himself on the
what's
back.
Upsetting to me is you're gonna go into.
There's no way I can like this.
Convinced you're not gonna like it.
Well, convinced. Here's the problem too: is you taint things, Brian. Like as I'm sitting there,
taint.
You taint them. While I'm watching this thing, if you do this, which is not smart because I've already admitted that I'm going to start cheating, so you'll just lose a lot. But if you do this, and I'm sitting there in the theater, like I'm seeing it as though you're sitting next to me, and I'm thinking of you the entire time, thinking you probably laughed at that part.
Every time
you you're responsible.
You're imagining me just looking at you, just smiling. I'll look at the screen, just looking at you. Going,
like my brother and I have this thing we go back and forth on, and it's like I'm holding you responsible. Like if he recommends a movie to me or something, I'll watch it, and I'll like if I don't like it, I'll be thinking of him, thinking, wow, what's wrong with this guy? And I'll send him texts like, dude, you are so responsible for this terrible movie. It's all because of you. You are responsible. So
and your version of that with me is this podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, you save it.
Save what?
You save your vitriol, your texts, your anger.
Oh yeah, yeah. Whenever I want to talk to you about something throughout the week, I'm like, oh, let's talk to him about it on the show. Yeah.
Save.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on.
Coming up next,
amputated characters.
Amputees.
Wait, did Anderson do a second film?
Yeah, I did. Dory.
Jake the Snake and Dory.
That's right.
Dory.
What were your two?
Where? Mine was Finding Dory.
You guys did Finding Dory together. That's why I'm
confused. We did three films?
Yeah, because we both did Dory. All right.
Jesus. There was a day when we used to do three each.
Yeah, and a lot of time we had crossover.
Oof. Sorry, guys. I'll make it up. I'll, you know what? I'm going to fix this.
How are you going to fix it?
Stay tuned for next week.
What?
In the meantime, coming up next, Top 5 Amputees.
What does that mean?
You know those dash buttons, Anderson, people get on our Amazon click through on Anderson? And
yes.
Brian.
We talk about them every
button,
week.
The button you press and just something shows up at your house.
Right.
I'm glad people are buying those, but I think someone may have bought one with the expectation that the stuff shows up instantaneously.
No one
I think
listens
least,
to the show.
I think there's at least an hour.
Is that dumb?
Okay, good, because someone bought a Trojan condoms dash button, mm-hmm. and I could very much see that thing like keeping it by your bedside and mm-hmm. like, oh no, I need Trojan condoms.
Like those horrible insurance ads where they're like they call out the name of their insurance company. And
oh, like your good neighbor, Trojan condoms are there.
Yeah,
ding.
And it's already on your dick. That would be pretty sweet.
We're not that show.
Hey, if you were banging a genie,
what do you mean?
Like I dream of genie.
Uh huh.
She could have done the little head thing. Yeah.
It's like I have one more wish.
Yeah. Wrap it up. All right. We're not that
I don't think you'd wish for having sex with condoms on, though. I think you'd just
say...
Yeah,
that's a good point.
I wish you would bang her. You couldn't get pregnant.
I wish you take all the STDs you just infected my penis with away, please. Thank you.
Apparently we are that show. Other things purchased. Ding. Through the AndersonandBrian.com.
I used to have such a crush
Amazon
on her. She was so hot.
Which one? The genie. The genie? The one from the 60s?
Yeah.
Huh? You say so.
Reruns.
Yeah, she was very pretty. I don't have a...
Beautiful woman.
Also, speaking of dash buttons, an Arm & Hammer cat litter dash button was purchased. I can see you having to refill that on a frequent basis. A Whirlpool countertop microwave was purchased. Mm-hmm. What is this here? An LG Google Nexus 5, 32 gigs, refurbished and unlocked was purchased. An Asus gaming laptop, Core i5, as well as an Asus, DisplayPort LED monitor and an HP LCD monitor was also purchased. And a lot of people getting computer equipment. 10 these were purchased. Laptop AC adapters, power cords. That's a smart thing. I don't know about like laptop power cords. I suppose it's for an office, but do yourself a favor and get a whole bunch of like cables and just charging cords and everything. Just put them around your house.
Yeah, just have a bunch of wires
put in your
around
car.
Your house. Yeah.
Well, because you're always looking for one. I'm looking for packing for a trip right now. I'm thirsty. Where's your power cord? Where's the extra one?
Mm-hmm. For your computer?
For a phone.
Okay, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Because the computer ones are expensive as shit.
Someone got 10 computer briefcases. Mm-hmm. Thank you for getting those. An Amazon Tap Alexa-enabled portable Bluetooth speaker was purchased. A Bose Quiet Comfort acoustic noise-canceling headphones. 14. Someone bought 14 packs of American ginseng roots. I don't know if that's for planting or for eating. I don't know what you don't plant them and grow more ginseng?
I don't think so, no.
I don't know.
Thanks gives you energy. Business. Gives you energy.
A Fitbit Charge was purchased.
Yeah.
A American flag, 3x5. Merk. A Kindle Fire was purchased, as well as a TCL 32-inch Roku Smart TV. An OXO 9-cup coffee maker.
Hey,
a,
do you... go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You think you know how they hate us over the, a lot of factions and sectors of the Middle East hate Americans?
I'm not aware of that.
A lot of them. We should make an American flag that's a rug.
Oh, so they can walk on it?
Yeah.
Wipe their feet? Like a doormat.
Yeah.
That feels like...
it'd be exploitative, you know, not very patriotic on our part, but we'd probably make some cash.
A comfort plush, what is this here? An airbed, a queen-size airbed, and the soundtrack to pop star Never Stop,
nice.
Never Stop It
nice.
Was purchased.
So good.
Fuck you like Bin Laden. Next.
Barbara Eden. She's 84
there
years old.
She's still alive?
84.
Whoa.
Oh, what happened? That show was canceled many years before I was born, so I don't know how I watched that as
reruns,
a child.
Obviously.
I guess, Brian, yes. Reruns. Or I got my time machine every time I wanted to watch Genie.
What if a time machine and you used it just to watch repeats of shows?
Or when they originally aired?
When they originally aired?
The dumbest. Something Carano would do. Here are the movies that are clicked through. This is the last time I saw you. Eddie the Eagle. You know, don't sleep on Eddie the Eagle. It's a really good little feel-good movie. Love that Eddie the Eagle. Jumanji.
Check that out.
No, a documentary was clicked through as well. It's Predator 2. The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. You know, I have begun that movie. I've started that movie numerous times.
I've never gotten through.
I need to. 10 Cloverfield Lane, as well as Creed, Ghostbusters. Someone's gearing up for the new Ghostbusters. I'm going to see the new Ghostbusters.
Of course.
I'm excited for it.
Check it out.
Gods of Egypt, Inception, it follows La Dolce Vita. Look at that. Masterpiece. Modern Times, The Revenant, Sicario, Sophie's Choice, Spectre 007, Terminator Anthology, Rise of the Complete Matrix. Wow. All of Matrix of the Illusionist, The Incredible Burt Wonderstone, The Prestige, The Manchurian Candidate, Theory of Everything. As well as The Wolf of Wall Street. Hey, everybody. Thanks for
clicking
through.
Good movies.
Thanks.
Enjoy.
I got a couple that I'm questioning. The Incredible Burt Wonderstone.
Although, if I heard right, there was three magician movies.
Yeah, you're right. The Illusionist, The Prestige. Oh, I wonder if they're doing their own little top five list. Why three
magicians? How dare you? How dare you create a competing podcast, but thank you for freaking through.
Here's a fourth one. I think it's called Magic Camp. It's all about those kids that want to get into magic.
Magic Mike.
No, it's not.
Magic Mike.
Penis is growing is not a magic trick.
You seem to do it with that much effort.
Talking about yours when you watch that.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, look at that little homophobia.
Oh, you turned it around.
Oh.
Back to the show. Oh, hi. It's Falcor, the dog beast from The NeverEnding Story, and you're listening to The Film Vault on AndersonandBryan.com. Yeah, welcome back. Anderson, do you know any amputees?
Yeah, of course.
What do you mean, of course?
Working at a camp for cancer.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, good point.
I know a ton of them.
Although, I mean, of course, like everyone knows amputees, but you obviously are in a position to know many.
Hey, before we move on, last week, you know, I know that people don't come here to get their news source, and a lot of times this is like an escape. A lot of shows, podcasts, and whatnot are an escape for people, but I did feel a bit remiss and... like a dick for not mentioning anything about Orlando. I talked about it over the at the after disaster.
Why did you feel like a dick not talking about it?
And also,
like you said, people don't come here for news.
It was a movie theater, maybe. Something so horrific.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree with that.
When I was in line at the supermarket just last night, you know, People Magazine has like all the faces of all the victims. Mm. And it's like, I just don't like the idea.
It's in the ether.
Yeah.
Okay. What'd you
want
to say?
Not as bad as that one week where there was a big mass shooting and we did top five arsenals just happened to land on that week and we had already done it.
I've already recorded it.
Yeah, so we had to put out a little. I don't like it. I don't like it, and I would just like a little moment, you know.
Sure.
Moment of silence, and then I think I also said something that I did not like at all that sounded homophobic last week. That
you said it now.
Well, that was cut.
Oh, it was.
Because you asked me to.
Okay, good. Thank you very much. It was a test right there.
Can we make that available to the listeners?
Can't even remember what it was.
Bonus content?
But it was something. Oh, I was just using the word gay. Which?
You used it as a pejorative.
Yeah, it's because I hung out with a bunch of my camp friends, a few of which are gay, and I love using it around them.
Right.
And I just come back from that.
And then you brought attention to it like pretty much right after, which made it worse.
Yeah, I'm sorry, buddy. Then you cut
it. Now.
Fuck. All right, well. All right. Okay.
You were going to get letters. What if we got letters?
I don't think we get nearly as many as we do tweets and emails because they're harder.
What if we got like a letter, like a postcard?
Back in the day, man.
I know.
That's switchboard, so you'd have to be so angry, you'd actually have to go to the fucking post office.
Take some dictation.
All right, amputations. Also, I'd be remiss not to mention a documentary that I saw a long time ago that is great that I actually bring up very often. Actually, just over the weekend, I was citing this movie called Hole, W-H-O-L-E.
Okay.
Not a really well-made documentary, but it's one of those ones that the subject matter makes it compelling and you can't stop watching it. And it's all about, the filmmakers find a large group of people all over the world who want to be amputees. And
similar to the whole sex change, transgender thing.
Like they know that they're like supposed to be a man, even though they're born a woman, vice versa. These people know that they're supposed to be amputees. Yeah. And it's really tragic and insane. It makes you wonder about like past lives. And like this one guy that they're talking to, he's like, I know it's supposed to end 2 inches right above my knee. Like he knew exactly where.
Wow.
And it's tragic. A lot of these guys and women actually end up doing it themselves.
I was
going
to say,
you can't find
a doctor to do it.
They can find some in certain parts of the world, but they're hard to come by.
Here, yeah.
But most doctors won't amputate a healthy limb, obviously. So that's a movie that immediately came to mind. Hole. You might want to be aware of that one because it's interesting as shit.
Do you have any clever choices on your list?
Clever in the sense that I'm not all arms and legs.
Okay, so mine are all arms and legs and feet and our hands or something of that nature. Because amputation is technically a limb.
You have any clips?
I have no clips.
I have a clip.
You have a clip?
A clip. My number three is a clip.
Okay.
Any crossover?
I left one off my list that is so glaringly obvious, I assumed you had to have it.
There's a couple that are hugely obvious. We'll get there.
Okay.
We'll get there.
I left a very obvious one off, assuming it'll be number one on the listener's list, if not yours.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Good. I'm glad I can go first because it brings me joy, Anderson. Do you ever, I think this is just me. Do you ever derive joy from putting a bad movie that you otherwise would have no reason to talk about on your list because it fits so perfectly? You're like, oh, this is a movie that I never envisioned putting on a top 5 list, and yet here it is.
Best things about this this format that
you find
do
some use for bad movies.
It's like, and you never know what kind of movies you're going to be bringing up either.
Mm.
You know,
one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Yeah,
Tusk.
Not one of the worst movies.
Oh,
it's
yeah, it's bottom 25 probably.
No way. Well, you haven't seen that many movies.
I haven't seen that many movies, yeah. But.
Tusk.
You know how many movies I've rated on Netflix?
It's entertaining.
How movies many? I've seen? Like 1,600 and something.
No.
Yeah?
Yeah, but you rate movies you haven't even seen, right? I heard that was
yeah,
good.
I heard that was good. Yeah. Central Intelligence, 4 stars?
Mm-hmm.
It's actually 4.5.
Out of 10, right?
Wallace Brighton, played by Justin Long in Tusk, is the unfortunate victim of some amputation. Some of mine, by the way, are accidents. Some are done strategically. Some are in the heat of battle. Some is torture.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think this actually fits any of those. Yeah, well, can we? People know what happens in Tusk, right? It isn't giving anything away.
I went in knowing very little, and the movie actually had a positive.
But we talked a lot about
effect
it.
On me
we
because I was riveted throughout. I was entertained. I thought it was
really
completely ridiculous.
Oh yeah,
and,
okay.
Over the top, but I enjoyed it. I knew that I was never going to forget it for
okay.
sure.
Okay, I agree with half what you said. I certainly cannot envision myself
not a great movie at all.
No. The scenes with Johnny Depp are interminable.
That's where, yeah, he did all he could to ruin that movie.
Excruciating.
He's just not funny. That's the problem with Johnny. I love him. He's a great actor. I wish he'd be a leading man, but he's just not funny.
Back to Justin Long.
You probably like him.
Johnny Depp?
Yeah, his humor.
Well,
because your sense of
funny.
Humor
I'm
is a little
bit
trying
to think off. About when, I guess, would you consider Johnny Depp funny in Fear and Loathing? I consider him
no,
funny.
No.
Oh, really?
I thought he was poorly miscast and he ruined that movie.
I thought I had some funny moments.
No.
There I was. Holy shit, there I am.
Yeah.
That's
well,
good stuff.
If you read the book.
Yeah. I did not.
Go ahead.
Top 5 movies based on books. Hey, Wallace Brighton, played by Justin Long, is the unfortunate. I don't want to do much away then because you think that people may not know, but let's just say that he is the victim of a unwitting and unwilling amputation, double amputation,
mm-hmm.
and he is left to a very bleak fate.
Yes.
Damn, wish I could say more, but the people who've seen the movie know.
Doesn't matter.
You don't think so?
No.
All right.
No.
Justin Long's legs are cut off.
Yeah, yeah.
And the tibias are turned into tusks.
Yeah. You can leave it at that.
Okay.
You can leave it at that. Yeah.
Hence the name of the movie.
And if you don't know why, you've still got plenty to discover.
Then you can dive in.
And it was based on an actual...
By Michael Parks.
It was based on an actual like a Craigslist for Europe. I forget what it's called.
But it was a fake. It was a prank.
Something like Gumshoe or Gumroad. Something like that. Gumshoe, maybe.
But it was...
It turned out that it was a hoax. But it was something somebody posted on an actual site over there in the old Europe over there.
Yeah, and I know the site,
It was a guy who was looking for somebody to come over and do something on a regular basis. And they came up with it on one of his little smodcasts over there.
Yeah, it was him, Scott Mosier.
I listened to it actually right after the movie. I left because they credit it. And I listened to the two stoners come up with the idea to make a movie out of it. And it was delightful.
It's pretty great.
I enjoyed it.
A making of this movie would be probably better than the movie.
Number five for me. I got two
Gumtree,
here, brother.
Gumtree.
Gumtree. I was close.
You were very, very close.
Gumtree.
Damn it.
Number five for me. Number 5B. I got two here because one doesn't really count. But hey, I've never brought this movie up, and I grew up watching this movie. I probably saw it a dozen times.
Well, let's hear it.
It's called the Terry Fox movie.
Okay.
Terry Fox story.
Who's the real person?
The Terry Fox story. This is a true story about the Canadian cancer amputee hero who decided to run across Canada, on only one leg to raise money for cancer research. And
so
I remember
he hopped across Canada.
I don't know why I saw it so many times, but it was one of those movies that I watched a number of times, probably shaped me a little bit. And I thought the guy was so heroic for doing such a crazy and insane thing. And
is it a TV movie?
Yeah, made for TV.
All right, this doesn't count. Move on.
All right, number five. I'm
joking. Talk about as much as you want.
No, that's all I have to say about it. But the Terry Fox story, it's very good. Okay. It's very moving and
really
probably a little bit dated.
1983. Okay.
But
who's Terry Fox? Anyone notable in this movie? Who plays Terry Fox?
No, it's a documentary.
Oh, it is? Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I thought you were going to say it was a TV movie.
No.
Sorry about that.
Sorry. Okay. You good? Number 5A for me. And we're going to get going here soon, I promise. Here we go, though. Number 5A. This is kind of a layup. Lieutenant Gene Razzik. He's a commander, Brian, of the Roughnecks. Talking about Michael Ironside.
Nice.
In Starship Troopers. He lost his arm in battle, battle that did not happen in this movie.
He starts off as not a lieutenant, but a teacher.
He's a teacher because he can't put forth his best war effort anymore because he's got an amputee. He's got a missing an arm. But then when
cut
shit really
forearm.
Hits the fan, they need all hands on deck, per se.
He enlists.
Yeah, he goes back and he's a badass. He's like the father of the whole bunch. He's the father of all the roughnecks and badass, and he commands respect. And
total
his
badass.
Amputee... His amputation is almost like a scar of courage.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Well, it makes him a mysterious character initially. You're like, what the hell? Why is this guy so weird? So, they got the missing arm and all that stuff. And then he comes back there with a bionic arm. Remember, he has the bionic arm that he shoots the gun
it's the
with.
Future. It's
and then,
future.
By the way, he becomes a further amputee. During battle, he's sucked into the pit. Remember, into the sand? He comes out with no legs.
He doesn't make it, Brian.
He doesn't. He comes back with no legs.
What are you doing?
He's a triple amputee.
Well, I mean, he's just... Like, he's amputated from his fucking body. Like, his soul's gone. You know what I mean?
His soul gets cut off?
Yeah.
So he's a triple amputee. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. Number four. How often do we talk about iRobot?
It wasn't a documentary. It was actually the true life story of Terry Fox.
So it was an actor playing
the
Terry
The actor was Eric Fryer. And Robert Duvall was in this. It's all coming back. I just threw it on there last minute because I really liked that growing up. But that's how long it's been, Brian. It was a documentary in my head. But I was a little kid. I didn't know what the fuck was going on.
When you're a little kid, you make movies like real. Like the actor showed up or the guy was, the actor showed up and decided to start talking in front of the camera.
It's really good. I don't wonder if it's available anywhere. The Terry Fox story. Got to know more about Terry Fox. Holy fuck, I can't believe I screwed that up.
You screwed it up.
Thank God I got past that. Okay, here we go.
Number four. How often? We don't talk very much about iRobot.
Oh, Terry Fox.
What? Jesus.
But iRobot? No, we don't talk much about
iRobot?
It. Yeah, I saw it.
Not a great movie. Some good stuff.
Some
very
funny
good
stuff.
Some very good stuff.
I'm not sure if it's supposed to be funny, but that robot who got kind of evil was hilarious.
Speaking of which,
yeah.
Directed by Alex Proyas, director of The Crow and Dark City. So this is a minor reveal, but since Anderson was okay with the Tusk thing, this is nowhere near that. So at one point, I don't remember this, Anderson. Will Smith is haunted by, it's a recurring thing. He's haunted. He hates robots. And at one point he explains why. He was driving in a car with a little girl and the car crashed, went in the water, I guess a lake. And a rescue robot came and was like, you're in danger. You're experiencing an emergency. And Will Smith's like, save the girl. But the robot calculated based on, on vitals.
Sophie's Choice was right
there. The robot said, you have a 34% chance of survival. And the girl only has an 11% chance of survival. So I'm gonna play the odds. I'm gonna rescue you.
Right.
And he takes Will Smith out of the car, and the car drowns, and the car sinks, and the girl drowns. And he has a distrust of robots.
Yes.
Flash forward to this scene where he's being attacked by robots, And he's on the road. He's being attacked by robots. It's in the future, by the way, and if you couldn't already tell. And he fends them off, but there's one left, and there's one trying to... ironically, the one, actually, the arm is broken off. So there's a sort of a foreshadowing there where this one-armed robot is attacking him, trying to kill him. And Will Smith, he's beaten down. He's on the ground. He's shielding himself with his arms, and the robot gets like a metal club, and he's whacking him with the metal club. He's trying to bludgeon him to death.
Right.
And Will Smith holds up his forearm, and the robot's bashing it, and he knocks away the skin to reveal a mechanical arm.
Right.
He's part robot.
Yeah.
You know, it becomes now
self-loathing.
It becomes sort of a self-loathing thing where he's not just the anger that comes from the rescue and the rescue that wasn't and that let this little girl die. It's also kind of a self-loathing thing. He blames himself in a way. He hates himself.
Yes.
It's a great reveal. It's a small reveal. This isn't the end of the film. It's about halfway through the film.
It's not a good movie, and you don't need to watch it.
Well, then I did you a favor. I told you about one of the best parts.
Yeah. Probably the best part.
Yeah, actually, probably
the worst part is when all the robots are like all standing coming there. Together and they're all cartoony. Yeah. Don't like that.
The effects were the CGI. Grasp what do you call it? The reach outreached its grasp. What is the phrase? It's reach.
I don't know what you're trying to
say. Its grasp could not get to its.
I don't know
what
you're trying to say. Number four for me.
It was trying to reach farther than it could actually grasp.
I'm talking about number four here.
Okay, what's number four?
1932 film.
32?
Yes.
Whoa.
This film has come up on my list before in the past. I believe this character did. Talking about the living torso, Brian. Prince Randy Ann in Freaks, 1932. Todd Browning's Freaks.
I remember you talking about this.
You have not seen Freaks.
I have not seen Freaks.
It disturbs me that you have not seen Freaks. It's a problem.
It disturbs me that you have.
It's upsetting. I've seen it a few times.
And these are always real people.
They used actual real-life freaks. And Prince Randy Ann... he was an actual, you can't fake this, especially back in 32. He had no arms, no legs. They called him the human caterpillar at one point in his career. P.T. Barnum actually brought him over. He was born to Indian slaves over there across the ocean. And
imagine what P.T. Barnum saw in his life.
What's that?
Imagine what P.T. Barnum saw in his life.
We need a movie.
We really
like
do.
Like a Paul Thomas Anderson movie.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be so good.
Especially now with what CGI is
capable of. Daniel Day-Lewis playing. No, you know what? Daniel Day-Lewis and P.T. Anderson are getting together to make a movie about fashion.
They are?
Yes.
Hmm.
Yeah. I'm excited, I'll but really, it. I'd rather... Why don't you guys switch course and make P.T. Barnum?
Does the Neon Demon worry you?
Saw it.
Oh, saw it?
Mm.
Oh, no, don't tell me.
Don't.
Don't see it?
I talk about it over on Cinema with Dicks, but yeah, I saw it last
when
week.
When does it come out?
This Friday, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. We need to get over that love affair with Wendon Riffin.
Ooh.
We need to get over it.
Yeah, the last one left me a bit cold.
All right, so I'm talking about Freaks. This is an iconic scene, which I think most everyone has seen, where he's crawling after the villain at the end with a knife in his mouth, and he's worming his way. The man got around really well. He died of a massive heart attack at age 63, I believe. But like, he made a comeback, and you know, he was, from all accounts, just a lovely human being. Just happened to not have his arms and legs.
Mm.
Yeah.
Hence the name, the human torso.
He was born that way.
Yeah. I figured.
Well, you know, you never know.
Accident.
They do weird things, like over in India, like they'll put like battery acid on kids' face so they could be professional beggars.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, I saw that documentary, the Slumdog.
Not a documentary.
Oh,
it's a real movie, Slumdog Millionaire.
They did that in the Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh, did they? Mm. Oh, really?
You remember that?
No.
They burned the kid's eyes out. Remember?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah,
remember. He knew the dollar bills by what president was on the cover.
The living torso.
The cover.
Freaks. There's a little girl without arms in that one as well, but I'm going with the...
Okay.
With the missing all. This guy...
Should I see Freaks?
Yes, absolutely. It bothers me that you have not.
Where can one get Freaks?
I don't know. Where do you get any movies?
Well, I mean,
send away for it. You might be streaming somewhere.
I saw it like on Amazon or on YouTube. At this point, it's probably public domain.
This just in: iRobot 2 in development.
Is that true?
Yes. Upsetting.
What could there? Okay.
Freaks. Freaks.
They essentially have a TV show. It's called Humans.
What?
Humans. The on AMC is pretty much the exact.
Oh, iRobot.
iRobot.
Really?
So if you want something more,
I was excited. I thought you meant Freaks. You wouldn't be able
a TV
to make
show on Bravo.
You wouldn't be able to make a movie called Freaks with actual freaks in it today, right. Even though Crispin Glover kind of did with his movies, evidently, which I still have sitting at my house. I need to watch it.
Anyways, which one?
What is this? What
it is it? Fine. It is fine.
But
everything is fine.
Freaks uses actual freaks. You know, I use the term because that's what the goddamn movie's called. But, you know, it's funny. What's funny is all the actors that were in it, especially at the time, they were as pleased as could be to actually be in a first-run movie. You know what I mean? In an actual movie. And sure, they were being exploited, but, you know, they were being exploited for their oddities. And they're also good little actors, some of them.
Okay.
I shouldn't say little actors, but the well, little, I'm sure the lead dude is the smallest. Yeah. He's a little dude.
About but, the torso.
But nowadays, freaks actually probably, what were considered freaks then, would have a hard time finding work because they just put makeup on a guy.
Yeah, or they, digitally remove
they take Furiosa's like, yeah. arm away, you know, with digital. Which, or actually the last time I saw a real freak was Under the Skin. That guy with the Elephant Man face. Oh, so awful. Poor guy. You never saw Under the Skin. You're giving me a blank face.
I saw Under the Skin. Oh, remember? Yeah, with the guy who was disabled.
But, no, he was very disfigured. His face.
He was. His face was twisted almost.
Yeah, he had like a lot of folds and whatnot. Oh, it was beyond palsy. It was a genetic disfigurement. Yeah, I guess it was like a birth defect. It's the last time that I saw actual in a scripted film.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I wanted more out of Under the Skin.
I want you to see Freaks. All right. I want you to see it. You can come in and talk about it.
Hey, you mentioned a lady. Freaks. You mentioned a lady with missing limb.
Mm-hmm.
My number three.
Yeah.
The lady with the missing limb.
Furiosa?
Actually, no, it's Gazelle.
Who's that?
Kingsman.
Oh, good.
Hey, Gazelle from
Glad
Kingsman.
Glad you have her on here.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
You lost your notes, sir?
I lost my notes. Hey, Gazelle, played by Sophia Boutella. Or Boutella?
You know who was originally up for that?
Yes, I do. It was, Amy Purdy, an actual double amputee snowboarder, mm-hmm. was originally cast, but she had to drop out so she wouldn't miss the Olympics. They also approached, I don't know if you knew this or not, is this what you're about to say? They approached Oscar Pistorius.
Yeah. He was the original, from what I understand. He was the guy that they almost wrote it in mind for.
And my research revealed they actually asked his reps if he could play a convincing killer. Amazingly, both he in real life and she in the film shot someone through a door.
Did she?
Yeah. I guess that's what I read in the notes.
Wait, did she kill someone? No. What? No. Did someone die on the set?
No, in the movie.
Oh, yeah. I see.
She killed lots of people.
Okay, I got you. I'm stupid. I'm sorry. I had a moment there. I thought you were like, I thought no, there was she like did a crow. Not commit a crime. A crow thing happened.
Kingsman, if you are not familiar, directed by Matthew Vaughn, director of Kick-Ass and X-Men First Class. The character, Anderson of Gazelle, was originally male with bladeless prosthetic legs in the comic book. And as it is, she has, you know, the blades that are deadly and she kills people with. She qualifies as a badass bitch. The rare female evil henchman and right-hand lady to Richmond Valentine. Mm-hmm. Rarely see the female evil henchman.
Yeah, it's rare, and I liked it.
Yeah, it was very effective.
And she was great.
She's actually a lot more badass than Valentine. Valentine's got the lisp, and remember, he can't even look at violence. He gets physically ill, and she's the one who, like, you know, basically does all his killing.
It's great. I love that movie.
Yeah.
I do, even though you like it.
Sorry, buddy.
Number three for me. This one is going hipster.
Gazelle.
But this one deserves to be talked
Number
about.
Number four wasn't hipster?
Number three is more hipster.
Oh, my God. This is a film that hasn't been made yet.
I don't think so, because people know Freaks, especially film lovers. People know Freaks. Freaks is a notorious film.
Fair enough.
This is a movie that won a ton of awards back in 1946 when it was released. And this is a beautiful, beautiful movie. I'm talking about William Wyler's The Best Years of Our Lives.
Okay. Have not seen
it. 1946. It's a movie about servicemen coming back from World War II. So it's very timely. This is 1946, right? The war ended in 1944.
No.
45?
44 was D-Day. Yeah, I think it was early 40. When was VJ Day? I feel like it was early 46.
VJ Day is on MTV. They do every 20 years. They have... What was name one VJ from MTV. Can
ever?
You?
Duff.
Yeah.
Karen Duffy. Karen
Duffy. Oh, the chick. Yes, the
chick. Yeah, she was hot.
Oh, Downtown Julie Brown.
Yeah.
I thought it too.
All
right, whatever.
Was it Hardwick a DJ?
Talking about Harold Russell playing Homer in The Best Years of Our Lives. So it's about these three servicemen who are coming back from the war, and they're trying to adjust to life back home. Right, Brian?
VJ Day was August of 45. So the war ended August of 45.
All right. So this is very,
very,
timely.
Very
like
fresh.
They're writing this probably when the war is still going on. Okay. And William Wyler, he's one of the all-time greats. This movie won 7 Academy Awards. But the guy that I'm zeroing in on here now is his name is Homer, and he lost both his hands, and he was a star quarterback when he left for war, right? He graduated high school as a star quarterback. Right. He was about to marry the girl next door, literally.
Now he's more of a running back.
And now he's more of a running back. He comes back home.
More of a fullback.
And this movie is old, it's dated, but it still fucking works, and it's one of those examples of a very old
movie. The Best Years of Our Lives?
Still being able to be effective. The Best Years of Our Lives. Now, the because we just get the audio here, the music,
this is the clip.
Sappy music is going to hit us over the head a little bit more since we can't actually see what's going on either. But they're standing at the side of his bed, and you know, it's 46, so you can't really talk about they're about to have sex, but that's essentially what he's talking about. And poor Homer, here, played by Harold Russell, talking to his fiance, essentially, because, you know, they were going to get married. Then he went off to war. He comes back, and he's trying to push her away. He's trying to Harry and the Henderson her because he doesn't think Harry that she can be happy with him, missing his hands. And here you go. Play the clip.
This is when I know I'm helpless. My hands are down there on the bed. I can't put them on again without calling to somebody for help. I can't smoke a cigarette or read a book. If that door should blow shut, I can't open it and get out of this room.
Yeah, he's all little, and she's standing right there next to him.
And I assume this guy was not an actor before because this is an actual amputee. They didn't have a special effect, right?
You just don't see his hands.
Wait, are they obscured in the film?
He's an actor. Oh, so, are you getting hung up? Because I did right there that the acting did seem a little bit stale.
No, but what I was going to say is if the guy was like an actual serviceman who came back and they cast him because he was a double amputee, that's pretty impressive.
Yes, so he actually is an amputee.
There you go. That's what I was sort of getting at.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're right. He was in a lot of things, quite a few things. But yeah, he was actually missing. He was only in 5 things. He was actually missing.
It's not bad for a non-actor. Essentially, you know, guy started off his life as a non-actor, his professional life.
He lost both his hands with TNT. He was using to explode in his hands, Brian, when he was training paratroopers at Camp McHale.
All right, that's what not to do, boys.
I should have fucking looked him up. God damn it, I didn't.
Surprised
I ran
didn't.
Out of search. Mm. I ran out of time there. Mm. All right, that's on me. I'm glad that you brought it to my attention.
So the best years of our lives. Well, I'm actually kind of fascinated with this now.
It's a really good movie. It's a really touching, sweet movie. And I remember really feeling for his character, not realizing what a bad actor he was until right there when I'm listening to it. It's like, oh, wow, it's a little stiff. But I was kind of blaming it on the time.
Yeah, you're probably swept away with or just captivated by the fact that this guy's got no hands.
But yeah, in the movie, it's been a few years. Actually, I found this one because it was on the top 100 AFI American films ever made, top 100. And this is one of the few that actually stuck with me that I really, really enjoyed. And yeah, you definitely see that he doesn't have hands on the screen. And it's like the two of them standing over the bed, and you know what he's getting at. He's essentially saying, I can't fill you up, honey. You should go out and, you know, marry somebody who's got hands.
Yeah, who can give you the kind of what you need.
Very, very sad.
Satisfy your needs.
Very sad. But The Best Years of Our Lives, I highly recommend
that
movie.
Good pull.
Good one.
Coming up next.
Wish I looked him up. God damn it.
Top 2, amputees.
Said I was sorry. Could you fall asleep tonight?
Anderson,
yeah.
It has been quite some time since I have been legitimately excited about a new sponsor. Ring.
Right. Ring.
Ring. Ring.com.
Oh, yeah.
I was literally on Amazon looking at the models of the Ring doorbell and about to buy. I put it in my cart. I was like, this is the one I like. And the next day, our guy said, hey, what do you think about Ring coming on board? I'm like, yeah, do it. Send me a Ring.
Why don't you tell the people what Ring is all about?
Ring is a doorbell. It's a smart doorbell, but it's so much more. It's also related to an app on your phone. Anderson, what is my... What is my phone telling you right now? What was the notification
saying? It's saying, Ring, there is a notification at your front door. Ring, there is a motion at your front door.
Yeah. Ring is a motion detector doorbell, the model that I have, and it will tell you if someone rings it, it shows up on your phone. A little video shows up on your phone of the person ringing your doorbell.
Yeah.
There's a little camera inside. It'll tell you if just someone comes up to you, a mailman or an intruder or anyone in between, comes up to your front porch, comes up to your little your device, it'll alert you and say, hey, do you want to see who's there? And like, yeah, I want to see. And it'll turn the little thing on. It's like having a baby monitor on your front door.
That is sweet.
It's amazing. Yeah. I was on board to get this independently, and they're like, hey, how about the Ring? But yeah, have them send one, please. I've been playing with this thing. I got it just literally yesterday. I'm very excited about it. If you guys want to check it out, go to ring.com, learn all about it, see the models. Comes with a chime you can plug
in. Yeah, like you plug in a chime, right?
So you can actually hear it inside your house. It rings on your phone.
You can probably pick a bunch of different like rings.
Ringtones.
Yeah.
Music.
So instead of using your old antiquated doorbell, you got this new sound.
I wonder if we can get one like a dog barking. Like a big scary dog barking, because what if you're away? You know what I mean?
How about you just can record your own voice? Like, get the F out.
Beat it.
Beat it. Oh, just the sound of a shotgun.
Shotgun pumping.
Yeah.
And hook it up to a subwoofer, so it sounds really convincing.
Oh.
Listen up, Ring. Guys, go to ring.com/TFV, and you... Oh, $50 off. That's pretty good. Off the Ring security kit. Ring.com/TFV for $50 off. Ring.com/TFV. Oh, and speaking of which, Anderson, yeah. Logan and I were talking off the air about a podcast we heard. Freakonomics was the subject a couple weeks ago was why are there so many mattress stores? Mm-hmm. And the conclusion was basically, or one of the takeaways was mattresses are so overpriced for what they cost to make.
Right.
Like it costs, you know, let's say
X amount, right?
$200 and they sell them for $2,000. Right. The markup is insane. Yeah. You only have to sell a couple mattresses to make your rent. Mm-hmm. That's why you got to go with Casper.
Casper
is going to sell you the mattress that is quality but great affordability.
And I just got my new Casper.
So I have two
Casper mattresses now. Nice. And we just got the bigger one because the wife and I were not fitting in the bed anymore, and we love it.
You have a growing family and a growing wife.
And the dogs and the cat comes in, so now we have space for everybody in the bed. It's fantastic. And you know, I could have gone out and bought. I was already sleeping on a mattress, Casper queen size mattress, mm-hmm. which we both liked very much. We realized we needed to upgrade, get a bigger one. And before I even thought of like going out on my own, I just called up Casper and I'm like, all right, what are we going to do to get another one? Because mm-hmm. I love your bed.
Between you and me, we have three Casper mattresses.
The best.
That's an endorsement right there.
So it's really fun too to take them out of the box and watch them inflate. And their guarantee is like 100 days. You get to sleep on it for 100 days.
You don't like it.
You call them up.
Come take it away.
You send them off form or whatever, and they come take it off your hands. So literally, like, risk-free.
Even better news, guys. $50 off any mattress if you go to casper.com/TFE. $50 towards any mattress purchase if you go to casper.com/TFE and use the code TFV.
Who has time to go to the floor? And sure, it's nice to be able to lay and try them out, but then you got to, like, deal with, like, getting them sent to your house and... You'd have to talk to people. It's just awful. When you don't have to, and it's risk-free.
Well, hold on. There's someone at my door.
Casper.
Yep. Welcome back. So my first three, Anderson, were all amputees. My last two might fit in your other category of amputations, but I mean, of course, they happen to people, so they're amputees, so they fit in both.
Right, okay. I'm still reeling over how I didn't look more into Russell. And that fact
from
that,
the best years of our lives.
I had forgotten that, yeah, you actually do see the nubs at one point. I'm still upset about that, but I'm going to bring it home, these top two picks.
Your reaction when I asked you was very upsetting.
Well, I spent a long time just reading about just yesterday and a little bit more today about the best years of our lives because it's been a long time. And what I'll do is I'll read, rather than go back and watch the entire movie, you can't do that. I usually read the Wikipedia, the plot. I probably spent 15, 20 minutes watching clips and like reading over it, so I was familiar with it. But the most important basic stuff, I fucked up on. So I'm glad that we caught that because he's only in five movies. And I knew all that at the time when I saw it. Oh, I'm beating myself up over here.
We rectified.
Beating myself up.
It's not like you left the listeners hanging.
It's true.
We filled them in. Number two for me. Mine is partly one you mentioned earlier, but Michael Ironside Anderson has a long history of being amputated. Do you know about this?
No.
In addition to Starship Troopers, where he had an arm missing and also lost two legs. Mm. He lost both of his arms in Total Recall. He lost one arm in The Machinist.
Oh, yes.
And he also lost an arm and his head in Highlander 2, The Quickening, which I have not seen, but it's worth mentioning.
Right.
Michael Ironside is in the Amputation Hall of Fame.
Okay, so you just have him down for all of these?
It's for Starship Troopers. Uh-huh. It's for Total Recall. Mm-hmm. Well, see you at the body, Richter. Remember, he gets his hand, he loses his hands?
No.
In a very, I don't think the elevator was up to OSHA standards, to be fair, but Arnold Schwarzenegger was holding him as the elevator went up against a steel beam.
Right.
Not steel, a concrete beam, and sliced his arms right off.
Right.
See you at the body, Richter. Then he throws it. Arnold, listen.
Yes.
There are not many actors who have more iconic, a bigger collection of iconic, you know, finishing lines, I would say, the sort of, you know, I'll be back type of stuff, than Arnold Schwarzenegger, and that's one of the best. See you at the body, Rick, then he throws his two arms after him.
It's pretty good.
After his dead body, presumed to be dead soon. And then in The Machinist, that's what kicks off the whole plot, basically, is, remember, what's his face, Christian Bale, he's sleep deprived, can't sleep,
right.
He's in poor health, and something goes wrong, he's trying to stop the machine, hit the breakers,
yeah.
And then
horrible.
And then the hand gets flopping around, flop.
Screaming. It's pretty bad. Oh, I just thought it was more a different amputee.
What?
I just thought of one that didn't occur to me till just right this moment.
Put it in, number two.
Escape from Alcatraz.
Oh, that's right.
The painter.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
But you actually, that's painters. An amputee. See, that would be an amputee scene.
Amputation
scene.
That's a good one. I'm saving it for my list. Next one. It's on my list.
As far as the Hall of Fame for Ironside, I think Harold Russell might have him beat, though, because he's got five movies where he plays an amputee.
That's a great point.
Dogtown, China Beach, yeah, Trapper John M.D., Inside Movies.
That was a TV show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of those were. All right, here we go. Number two for me. All right, the hipsterness continues this week, Brian. It's a hipster list.
I like how you criticize me for clever choices. You put fucking Harry in the Henderson. You put a Sasquatch on your bearded character.
He had a great beard. He had a great fucking beard.
Well, I'm the clever
one. I wasn't trying to be clever with that. I just
that's
liked
the worst
his beard.
Part. You weren't trying to be clever.
I liked his. Well, there's nothing wrong with being clever without trying.
Thank you.
It's the best part.
Were you accidentally
great.
Clever?
Here's a little movie.
Oh, that's the name of the next book.
This is a movie.
You just gave me the name of the next book. Accidentally Clever, the Brian Bishop story.
What's it called?
Accidentally Clever.
But no, you're not ever accidentally
subtitle,
clever.
Subtitle,
every time you're
subtitle
sniff. Every time you're clever, Brian, it's through a lot of plotting and working and trying your best.
It looks that way.
It's arduous.
It's effortless.
It is not. It is not effortless.
Logan, stop laughing.
He's not at all. There's
you're
no
trying,
laughter.
You're trying to send the audience the wrong way.
Number two
you're
for me.
To mislead the audience.
1993, Bri-Bri.
I don't appreciate that.
David Lynch's daughter made a film.
Oh, really?
Boxing Helena.
Oh, I was going to ask you about that. This is a movie I've never seen. Should I see this?
Boxing Helena. Should not a good movie.
Okay.
Not a good movie, but a very interesting, twisted, fucked up plot. All right. Okay. So this woman, she's a beautiful woman. She played by Sherilyn Fenn.
Sherilyn Fenn, right?
Yeah. In fact, it was supposed to be Madonna at one point.
Really?
But she gets into a car
Didn't
wreck.
Didn't Kim Basinger drop out of this?
Yeah, there was a lawsuit famous, that went back and forth. I know all about that, but I don't know about fucking Harold not having arms and legs and, I mean, hands. God damn it. I'm not going to let that go.
Where the fuck is Sherilyn Fenn these days?
Yeah, she kind of dropped off.
I need more Sherilyn Fenn in my life.
But here's the story. So a brilliant surgeon who's a bit of a sociopath. You know what? Turns out that they did a – you can look this up online as far as sociopaths, where they kind of rank with different careers.
Okay.
And surgeons are right towards the top. Okay. It makes sense. Sure. You got to kind of have, you know, cold blood to be able to, you know, have people's
Make
life
those kind of decisions, yeah.
in your hands. But she gets in a car wreck out front, and he takes her inside, and he like tends to her, and he fixes her up, and he becomes in love with her and enamored with her, and he wants to keep her all his own. She's not into it, though, and he just starts taking body parts and keeping her at his house. And she's captive, and he cuts off her legs so she can't run away. And then she's swinging at him, so he takes those arms, so she can't swing at him anymore. And Sherilyn Fenn, it's a bizarre little twisted, fucked up movie that you would expect to come from the loins of David Lynch's daughter. David Lynch and via his daughter. She actually wrote this when she was 19 years old.
There is a section on Sherilyn Fenn's Wikipedia called, under acting career, it's called Career Slowdown.
A lot. Phoebe Cates. Where'd you go?
Phoebe Cates. Where are you been? She was Kevin Kline, though, right?
Sherilyn Fenn was actually nude. I believe it was in Playboy. Could have been Penthouse.
Tell me more.
Nudes.
Tell me more.
Sherilyn Fenn.
Well, she
most
she,
people know
she
her
was
from
in
Twin Peaks. Yeah. Yeah, most people know her from that. Jinx, bam.
Jinx.
Yeah, I know all that. I know Kim Basinger dropped out
as a famous
and was sued for $9 million. Then she
that was
appealed,
a landmark case,
and they settled out of court. But I didn't know Harold Russell actually was missing his hand.
Should we talk about that real quick? The Kim Basinger thing, Basinger.
Sure.
What happened was Kim Basinger. This is why this doesn't happen anymore. It was a landmark case. She agreed verbally to be in the movie. She committed to be in the movie, and that's how they got financing because she was a big, big star at the time. But then she changed her mind and dropped out, and the funding dropped or was reduced significantly. And they were like, "What the fuck, Kim Basinger? You agreed to be in our film, and we got money, and now you said no." It's like, "Yeah, well, I'm changing my mind."
Yeah.
And like, "You can't do that. You agreed, and we have business." Business agreements based on this, so they took her to court and they won.
Yeah.
Which back in the day, actors could drop at any time, and that was a landmark case because this was also when independent film was becoming a much bigger, much more viable
early
business.
Early 90s,
and now actors can. There's a lot of there's a lot more, I believe, paperwork or legal wrangling that goes into the commitment to film to star in a movie, especially if your name can get the financing.
I would think that contracts are now written and signed.
Anyway,
I would think
number one. Is that all for Sherilyn Fenn?
Yeah, Boxing Helena.
Should I see it?
It's not a great movie, but you should. You should see everything, especially movies of note.
No, you should not see it. You're going to see Central Intelligence. You tell me.
No, I should not.
Number one for me.
I bet it's better than that.
Wait, which is better
Boxing
than
Helena? One of the biggest issues with Boxing Helena is you don't really buy Sherilyn Fenn's character. Mm. She doesn't really put up as much of a struggle as you would think somebody in her position would. She just.
But isn't there a reason for that?
I'm
familiar with the twist. Isn't there a reason for
enough,
that?
Enough.
Well, I'm asking you, isn't there a reason for that?
You should see this.
Okay.
You should see this in Freaks.
Number one for me.
Have you seen any of the movies on my fucking list? Oh, no.
Oh, what was on your list?
The Terry Fox documentary.
I have not seen. The documentary, no.
Oh, wait. You saw Starship.
Star Troopers, of course.
You've not seen Freaks?
Nope.
You did not see the best years of our lives. Wow. Not seen Boxing Atlanta.
It's almost a clean sweep if you took off Starship Troopers. Number one. What if... my favorite movie of 2012. Looper.
Yeah, but this is a scene. This is an amputation scene.
Okay,
this is so good.
Seth is the amputee.
Oh, so good.
Seth is so good. Played by...
One of the creepier, unsettling
scenes. A young and old version played by Paul Dano and Frank Brennan. Written and directed by Rian Johnson. This was the scene, Anderson, early in the movie... It was in the first act of the movie where I sat up and like in my seat at the theater and thought, this scene was so shocking and so well done. I was like, holy shit, this movie, this movie could be something special. It does give you chills.
Yeah.
And this movie could be something special. Like
That's towards the middle point, if not well into the second act when that happens.
No, this is the first act of the film. This is before he even sees his looper.
No.
Absolutely it is.
This remember, because
he's hiding it. Paul Dano is hiding in his basement. Logan.
He hadn't met Bruce Willis by then. This was because he ends up helping Paul Dano's character first.
We're pretty far into the movie, though.
No, we're not.
He still works for the mob at that point.
45 minutes in.
Regardless of time, this is in the first act of the film because we're establishing what a dangerous guy Bridges' character, Daniels' character is.
Yes.
So anyway, the fucking scene. I'll just describe it because it's a brilliant standalone scene.
It's the filet of scenes.
It's fantastic.
Because of Daniels? I said that? Don't be a Philistine.
You got to set up so much in this.
Yeah, let's not do that. Because everyone's seen Looper. Fuck it.
No, I'm not worried about giving away. I'm just worried about having to set up so much. But basically...
It's a very, very clever way of dealing with time travel and the effects of time travel.
There's a paradox in the scene that bothers me, which is if they did the horrible things to the young version of the man that has the thing. Basically, you see a guy get amputated. It's amazing. Please see Looper, guys.
There
please
are some plot
Looper.
Holes with it.
The plot hole is, had they done these horrible things...
He wouldn't
things
be in the street.
He would never have survived. He would never have lived the next 30 years.
But
as,
it was a new and inventive creative
but
thing
it was
to
an
do
amazing,
with time travel, which we have never seen before.
What an amazing scene. It's so great. I forgive it. It's logic flaws.
Horrifying.
It's
fucking horrifying.
Remember they take his nose?
Yeah.
Oh.
Look at you. You done?
What?
You just set me up.
For what?
For my number one.
Really?
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Oh, no. The Salton Sea?
Salton
Sea. This doesn't
sea.
Count.
It absolutely counts. He lost his fucking nose.
I think that's an amputation.
We're going to have to amputate your nose, sir. Tell that to all the people that have lost their noses.
Okay. All right.
Salton Sea. Talking about Vincent D'Onofrio.
Number one, Reservoir Dogs.
Pooh Bear. That's an amputation scene. Pooh Bear in Salton Sea, 2002, directed by DJ Caruso. The movie is not great. The movie is a little bit fluffy. It seems like a DJ Caruso type of movie.
Should I see this?
You've never seen this?
No, I've seen it in
the
top five.
Fuck!
What if I... This might be the first one. If you'd left Starship Troopers off, it'd be a clean
Starship
sweep.
Troopers was 5A, so I have five movies on here that you've
That's
not
true.
Seen. You fuck.
Wow.
Bri.
Salton Sea.
Pooh Bear. Pooh Bear, the best part about Salton Sea, by far and away, is Pooh Bear. Played by Vincent D'Onofrio. And what's funny is he's lost his nose due to the tremendous amount of speed that he has consumed through it, right? He lives out there in the Salton Sea.
Snore speed?
Yeah. What?
Dude, I'm a naive.
That new to the world of drugs? Yeah, you snort gack. Okay. You snort the speed, Brad.
What's it called?
Meth. Methamphetamine. Oh. How do you think you do it? Gack.
Gack.
Yeah.
Or
gack. G-A-G. G-A-G-A-K.
You smoke cack.
G-A-K. That's good. He's not that good. I smoke what?
Gack.
Why?
It's like cock, but it's keck.
So that was like a...
It's Boston cock.
Yeah. You smoke keck. Keck smoker.
He's done so much that he's actually lost his nose. He showed up on set in character, Vincent D'Onofrio.
He cut off his own nose?
A little bit off. Oh. No, but he did a lot of research on people that actually had lost their noses and how they get a... like a little... A little bit of a squeak. I looked high and low for good audio of Pooh Bear. It would have been perfect. I would have let him just do the talking. Couldn't find any
this
good
scenes.
This
is the scenes. One reason I'm a dog.
There's the only scene that kept showing up was where he was about to unleash like a badger on Val Kilmer's dick, which that was a scene to itself. This movie should have been a lot more raw than it was, but it had that Val Kilmer sheen with his fake fucking tattoos. He's actually playing saxophone at the end at the Salton scene. So it's ridiculous. It's really, really bad when it gets bad. That's how much speed he's done, is that he's lost his own. Now, what do you think of when you think of like a speed, like physique-wise?
Physique-wise, I think of super skinny.
Right.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, and you know, D'Onofrio, he threw on a ton of weight. I think he beat the record for a Full Metal Jacket to play Gomer Pyle. He decided to put on 25 pounds, or maybe, no, 45 pounds for this role.
I think the guy just likes to let himself slip. Sure. You know what I mean?
I've seen him chubby more often than not.
But he came up with all of his character quirks and whatnot. I just mentioned like the little squeak that he did because of missing his nose, which is actually came from research that he did. But he also decided to bleach his hair, gain 45 pounds, and he got a bunch of like skate gear, like skateboarding gear, like clothes, like Vision streetwear, that kind of stuff. But it was all ill-fitting. Like it didn't fit him properly. And that's so he did his own wardrobe. He did his whole look. And it's one of my favorite characters that D'Onofrio's ever done. He's done so many great characters. Yeah. But Pooh Bear in Salt and Sea, it's a shining example of a bad movie having one really, really glowing star.
Nice. It's your version of Tusk.
I loved Pooh Bear. I wish Pooh Bear had his own movie. He's horrifying. Fuck. Horrifying.
Neither one of us put Furiosa on the list.
Terrifying. It's she's too recent.
Too obvious. I'm sure it's on the listener's list. Speaking of which, you're the listener's list?
Number five is Roy Munson from Kingpin.
Ooh, good call. God, I should have had that on my list.
Number four.
Number five for me, Roy Munson.
Number four is Luke Skywalker.
I never heard of it.
Number three, Ash from the Evil Dead trilogy.
Yeah, that was tough to keep off my list. It was tough.
Comes up a lot, though.
He does.
Number two is Furiosa from Mad Max Fury Road.
That sounds about right.
And the number one amputee, as voted on by our listeners, is Lieutenant Dan from Forrest Gump.
Fuck that.
There you go.
The best part about that, and I've said it before, is like you see less of Gary Sinise.
It's the silver lining.
Yeah.
So many also-rans. Should we just skip the also-rans Anderson and save him for top five amputations?
Can we do top five amputations? I get to confuse people. Are people going to think it's a rerun, though? You know what I mean? Ooh. If we like, that's the problem.
Put in parentheses, new episode.
There will be a lot of haters on Twitter that will think that.
Well, you know, let's see what response we've done this get before this week. Let's see what response we get this week
with other people, things.
Tell us if you want to see a top five amputations.
Because amputation scenes is so much different, brings so much more to the table.
I agree.
I think we can do it, but let's put some time between.
Yeah, are we going to forget that?
Not time to forget.
No, Logan, put it on the list.
Yeah. Next week, we're doing top five parody films.
Yeah, spoofs.
Spoofies.
Spoofs. We're going to laugh it up. You know what? The amputation scenes will be fine.
I realize how I came up short not knowing that about that actor. If he's number
really
three on my list.
You're really beating yourself up about
it. It's really upsetting because it was right there. All I had to do was click on it.
It's just an oversight, Anderson.
And the fact that I knew it at one point too, but it was all those years ago. It's a huge oversight that I would have, if I had an extra half hour today, I would have done that.
Hey, everyone makes mistakes. Well, almost everyone.
See, that's not accidentally clever right there. You were desperately trying. Like you were waiting for me to stop talking because you had it all teed up in your head. I saw it.
I really timed it well.
I saw you construct the whole thing.
Yeah. You saw the gears turn to then lock into place and hold it. Now go!
I have so many good ones on my Elsa rants. Fuck! One of my favorites. I almost put it on there, but Bone Tomahawk.
Well, see if I...
The ladies at the end of Bone Tomahawk. Do you remember the pregnant women
at the end
where he's escaping and they're just in there amputated because they've been cutting off the limbs and eating them? Terrible.
How about I'll try
just
and
tie it off.
Try and pick out ones that are just
tie it off, Ryan. Don't tell
Four me. Leaf in Tropic Thunder. What's his face? His character Nolte, Nick Nolte, because you don't see him lose his hands.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fake one. No, I shouldn't say that.
I thought for sure you're going to try and get clever and have somebody that was just like a head in a jar or something.
No. Hey, Dr. No from Dr. No. Remember Dr. No?
Yeah, did he
have
like,
did you actually see the movie?
I don't remember. What was amputated?
He had no hands or something like that. He had like some hand issue.
Oh, yeah. They were extra strong. Like he crushed a can.
He had mechanical hands.
Impressed.
Some BS.
God, that movie was bad.
Stop it.
It's a bad movie.
All right. Let's move on to gambling.
Do it.
Last week you gambled on Finding Dory. At the time, the Rotten Tomatoes score was 94%.
Mm-hmm.
Anderson bid 78, and Brian 97. Currently, the week after its release, the Rotten Tomatoes score for Finding Dory has gone up to 95%, making Brian the winner.
It is funny the 5% of critics don't like this movie.
Why'd you write down 58?
Chris Letang is my favorite.
Okay, I thought you were guessing a number based on whatever we're gambling on, which who knows what it is.
I don't know what I'm writing. Okay. Why are you looking at my stuff?
It's right in front of my face.
Stop it.
Who won?
You did.
Anderson, I don't want you to go into Central Intelligence with a bad attitude.
I like the first part of that sentence. Just stop after the first half.
I don't want you to go into Central Intelligence?
Period.
Period?
Yeah.
But I do. It's a good movie. It's above. It's got. Listen. Listen. The critics.
Brian, do you know
hold
how
on,
many movies are in the world?
Hold on. The critics are the hipsterest and snobbiest of all, and 66% of them gave this a positive review. When I'm sure that
it's called black guilt, right? White guilt.
Oh, you think that's what it is?
I know it is. Yeah. Why do you think Spike Lee has a career? White guilt.
That's a really good point, actually. I hadn't thought about that.
That might be a really racist thing.
That might be a really racist thing.
Could be very racist.
You're gonna like Central Intelligence. Mm-hmm. You're gonna at least find the stars to be charismatic in their chemistry.
Why do you
continue
to make these mistakes, Brian? Why do you continue?
I'm thinking for the listeners, you'll. Because you know what? People are going to hear this and think, Brian liked it. It's not that good. So I'm doing it. If Anderson likes it, then they're really going to.
By then, it'll already be like VOD and like.
It's something like number two at the box office. Mm-hmm. All right, Central Intelligence. You're going to like it. I'm not going to sign you a movie I think you don't like. Mm-hmm. It's funny. Some good stuff. All right, Logan, what's we're gambling on?
All right, this week you're gambling on Independence Day Resurgence.
Ooh, have you seen it?
No. No. I am really snobby
Don't
this week.
Laugh at that.
I am
really Does it come snobby. Out this weekend?
Yeah, this Friday.
Wait, I can assign that to you.
It's Roland Emmerich, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Roland Emmerich loves making movies about America, considering he's German-born. I think he's German-born.
The only problem is he is foreign. And the only problem is I'm not going to have a chance to see it. I think we should see it the same week.
We should never see that. Just don't see movies like that, Brian.
But, Anderson,
there's so many good
ones. Look at the show as a service. People are going to want to know what we think.
That's why I went and saw The Conjuring.
Then you'll see Central Intelligence. You'll be also equally pleasantly surprised.
I enjoy The Conjuring, too.
You'll be pleasantly surprised equally. All right, Independence Day, part two. Mm-hmm. Hide your number.
It's hidden.
Okay. I'm always conscious now that Logan can see my number. He knows where I'm going with this.
Really? Every page?
What's every page?
I've scribbled in every fucking page. Do a lot of writing on the show. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay, I have a number.
So do I.
What's your number? Hensy. Heinze.
Heinz.
Heinz 57.
Yeah.
Ooh, we're close. I initially said 67 and crossed down to 69. I think there's going to be a little bit of nostalgia. I think there's going to be a nostalgia boost.
Because you like the sexual number?
I also like, inverted sexual positions.
Well, currently, the week before its release, with just 14 reviews, the Rotten Tomato score for Independence Day Resurgence is 57%.
Whoa.
Fuck yes.
I don't know about
Anderson's
that.
Right on it.
Apparently, you start cheating early.
Feeling
You're not
going
to waste any time start cheating,
right.
Are you?
Just immediate. Yeah, it was immediate ramifications. I'm all about immediate gratification.
Can I see the history on your browser?
Yeah, sure. You're going to see a lot of
Rotten Tomatoes.
A lot of dicks.
Independence Day.
That's how I call myself. I just look at dick pics.
You're
it's
right on, 57.
You see AI watch like 500 times.
That would be the worst. That would be so embarrassing. I would, oh God, that's wrong to say, but I would almost rather you find child porn on my phone than AI watch numerous times.
What's AI? The movie AI?
Yeah.
Oh,
I think in my position, I'd be more shamed.
Yeah. You'd lose much more credibility.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I could just say I was researching the child porn stuff.
The AI stuff, there's nowhere to go with that.
I know, that was dark, guys. I'm going to be a father soon, so that kind of humor has
That'll
to get
really
out of my system.
Beat into your child pornography consumption. Thank you guys for listening, downloading. Thanks to Josh C. for the fan art this week. Josh sent in his fan art to andersonbrian.com. There's a contact link on there. I like that.
I don't like it at all.
I don't
all.
Have a problem with that.
I hate it.
I don't have a problem with that.
Smudge. Like you're just embracing the smugness. Yeah, so I am. I'm a smug guy, you know?
It's my brand.
People, you know what?
What's that?
If people have three words to describe me, smug's always going to be one of them. I'm fine with that. That's good.
Thanks, Josh, for the fan art. Thanks also to our featured artists this week. Deloria's Fold, The Royal Sound, The Natural Thrill, The Sound Objective, Inspector Owl, and Sons of August. Thanks, you guys, for contributing your tunes to the show. We appreciate it.
Teens.
Go to AndersonBrian.com to get some more info on them or to find out how to become a featured artist. And comment on the episodes. We appreciate that when you take your time to let us know what you think. Let us know if you want to hear Top 5 Amputations somewhere down the road. Facebook, Twitter, The Film Vault on both.
And video. The video.
Oh, is that coming out?
Yep.
Oh!
Sorry, this Friday. The day this episode's released. It's available now. Go to AndersonAndBrian.com.
I hope people stuck around for this.
Yeah,
they'll see it.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere. It's not like limited time only.
$5 will get you both the audio and video.
Nice. So it's since you're going to make it out, obviously, to the live show, you'll be able to.
Sorry, the live show is available to all now via video.
AndersonAndBrian.com. I'm sure our Facebook will have a link to it as well. And we're going to be able to maybe afford to buy a new mic cord.
Yeah, I think I might be able to do that.
Nice.
Sweet.
We are thriving, you guys.
All right, and I once again, I do apologize. I'm going to beat myself up. I'm no better case, than that. No the show is better than that. You guys deserve better than that. I should have had that.
Check out the live show on video and audio.
And until next week, we do it for Van Gogh.